Welcome, Daniel. It's so nice to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
All right. Our country is developing a gluttony for technology, as you say, e-obesity. Do tech-obsessed people see this in themselves, or are they just choosing not to disconnect?
Well, you know, I think there's a broad spectrum when we talk about people who are either addicted to technology or obsessed with it. And there are those folks who will deny that they have a problem, and maybe they don't. You know, not everyone does. And I think that when we talk about that spectrum, on the one end are people who don't want to embrace anything. They don't care about the latest and greatest stuff. They're just not into technology that much. On the other end are people who are so caught up in it, so obsessed with it, that they probably would never read a book. But the rest of us are sort of in the middle somewhere. We feel overwhelmed at times. We feel that it bogs us down. We can't keep up with it. We're overwhelmed. And I'm hoping that the book can kind of cut through all of that noise and give people the chance to sort of step back for a minute, get some awareness, and feel stronger and better about their technology, because I love technology, and I want people to feel the same way about it.
So to clarify, and just to underscore, this book is not about the evils of technology, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there are certainly within the book, I point to some of the pitfalls related to technology, and that it can lead to things like children who are overweight if they don't find that balance, that it can lead to problems within relationships, that it can lead to problems with knowing your own identity when you think about creating this sort of virtual persona out there and what's real and what's not, and, you know, things that can go wrong with relationships. But I don't want to present myself or the book as anti-technology, not at all. I think I want to give people the opportunity to explore some of the alternatives to being too immersed in the online world, and give people the tools and tips and exercises and all those sorts of things that can empower them with technology, not feel like they're getting lost in it.
All right. Well, you were a technology correspondent for major networks. Did you have an aha moment when you knew you needed to detox?
I did, and I think that my wife and my family members would agree that it almost came to an intervention. It was late in 2009. I was working for CBS News at the time, and I went home for the holidays, and I realized that my friends and family members didn't really know that much about me, even though I was so connected and thought I was sharing and learning so much about their lives. We'd lost all the sort of details. We'd lost the nuances, the emotions that come with picking up the phone or visiting someone in person. And in the book, I write about being a terrific broadcaster and a terrible communicator. And so I was doing a lot of telling and not a lot of listening. And I think that, you know, certainly for someone like me who covers technology, I'm immersed in this all the time. You know, it's easy for me to get perhaps too caught up in this. Maybe easier than other people. But I think that a lot of folks can relate to that sort of thing. And so it did become a problem for me, and I needed to step back. I needed to find some balance. I did quit social networks entirely for about 8 months, and I tried to manage my email and texting and websites, social networks, and that sort of thing. And eventually, this plan came together with the help of some other folks, and I've interviewed neurologists and psychologists and tech people and just average folks to try to put together and structure this four-step plan.
So are guys the biggest offenders, or are women equally as wired?
Well, you know, I think that men and women sometimes have different over-connected problems. But, you know, I've talked to lots of men and women, and they both admit to having problems. For example, women may have more of an issue with social networks. Guys may have more of a problem with email. But, you know, I'm not suggesting that gender necessarily plays a huge role. I think that it's something that affects everyone. You know, I've talked to moms who have a difficult time with their daughters, and I talk to fathers who have a problem with their sons. So I think it's across the board.
And okay, let's jump right in and talk a bit about the digital diet. Give us the overview.
Sure. So it's a four-step. There's a 28-day diet within it. And I don't want people to get misled by the word diet. You know, you think of like a food diet. That doesn't mean stop eating. It means, you know, eat the right foods, look at the labels, you know, choose the recipes that work for you. So it's the same thing with the digital diet. You know, there's a day in the beginning that's a detox day. Hopefully you choose a Sunday where everybody's not trying to reach you. But just put everything away for a while and get a little perspective. Then it's all about sort of easing yourself back into how you manage all this. And I want people to remember that it's separating from your work life. We all know that the demands of work require us to be online. It's not like you can just say to your boss, I'm sorry, I'm doing the digital diet this week. But outside of the time that you're at work or outside of your work demands, as best as you can, to try to reintroduce yourself into the online world with something I call an E-day. So that's when you start going online and when you stop being online. And, you know, thanks to the cloud and the fact that the internet is everywhere these days, it's hard to establish those barriers. But I hope that people can try to do that in their own lives. And so that's, so the first part is rethink. And the next part is reboot, which includes this kind of detox period and easing yourself back in. Then it's all about reconnect, which means going out and meeting with people you haven't seen in a while. You know, there are lots of exercises and tips within that too, to just kind of reconnect, not only with people around you, but with yourself and who you are. And then revitalize is about including lots of cool technologies, because there are tons of apps that will help manage your life. There are lots of great and wonderful devices out there that can help get you in shape, to help you organize your calendar. You know, I don't mean to, I want people to use the technology that works for them. It doesn't have to be everything. You know, I hope that people see the digital diet as, you know, they can do it a la carte at times. It doesn't have to be a buffet. And so, you know, it's all about finding that right balance.
What's your opinion about the working people who check their email constantly over the weekend? Are there stats about how this having no downtime anymore is affecting health and productivity?
Yeah, I mean, there are people are increasingly looking at that sort of thing. And you know, one of the things that I like to talk about is, you know, we all know that, you know, you sort of feel like you're the overachiever if you are accessible on email on the weekends or in the middle of the night. But really, I think what that's doing is it's eroding your strength within a company or within your workplace, because it means that you are available any old time. And what happens is that people end up sort of preying on that, especially bosses who think, well, great, now I can get in touch with this person anytime I want. So within the book, I try to give people reasons and a rationale to create these barriers, because no one else is going to do it for you. And so deciding on the weekends that you're going to check email, maybe you can read your email on the weekends but not respond, or just not check it at all until one time, maybe late on Sunday, if that's how you really feel about it. And, you know, sending out that message to people that you're not always available, that you're not always at their beck and call, and trying to focus on the immediate sphere of people and things that are right around you, not overextending yourself. And I know that that's easier said than done, and believe me, I've been very much caught up in this world. But there are so many benefits to be gained from establishing that stronger position for yourself.
Let's talk emotionally for a moment. I myself have been in a situation where someone I'm with, we're watching an event, and they spend more time sending pictures of that event to people around the world than actually interacting with, you know, the person they're with. I mean, that can be very hurtful. What's your advice for that?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, live your life in the real world, not the virtual one. So, you know, enjoy the experiences around you without having to worry about posting on Facebook or Twitter. You know, they'll still have happened, even if you haven't told everyone about them on your social networks. But, you know, I try to tell people no tech turds is one of my favorite ones. Don't just throw your devices out on the table when you're sitting at a restaurant or something. That sends a message that person is not as interesting as any flashing light that comes into your device. You know, at any moment in the lull in the conversation, you're going to look at your phone. If you have to have it out, if you need to have access to it, then tell the person why. You know, acknowledge why it's there. Otherwise, put it away. You know, I think we can all survive for, you know, an hour or something without checking all of these things. But we've kind of got lost in that, and we've forgotten that our lives will carry on even if we're not checking everything every minute.
And even in a business lunch, do you think it's important and the correct etiquette to put the phone and the BlackBerry away?
I think it's even more appropriate to do it at a business lunch, because why else would you go for lunch with these people? I mean, they're supposed to be interesting. You're supposed to have something to say, to discuss. You know, have it with those people. If you've got to get in touch with someone else on your phone at another time, then do it afterwards or do it before. But, you know, carve out those conversations and those moments, that face-to-face time that really is so meaningful and powerful.
I love one thing that you, what question that you rose in, that you brought up in the book is, why should a ringing cell phone trump everything else? Can you address what is proper cell phone etiquette and the right way to kind of gently say, you know, hey, I'm here, talk to me?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that it depends on whether you're expecting an important phone call. Of course, it depends who's around you, but you know, just acknowledging and discussing this sort of thing, I think, goes a long way in terms of social etiquette with devices. Not just picking it up and start talking on it, or not just picking it up and start texting on it. You know, giving the person who's with you some credit for being there and being around you, and not just detaching yourself and disconnecting from that immediate world and suddenly jumping into your device. So, you know, that's sort of the basic amount of advice, and I think that it can go a long way.
Well, do you think that there's hope for sort of solving this problem, or is it just going to spread and get worse?
I think there's absolutely hope. My belief is that the human condition and humanity can find a way to have a good relationship with their technology. But you know, that's all I'm hoping for is that people will get some awareness. This discussion will kind of start to bubble up. And I think that it's increasingly an important sort of thing for people to think about.
And have you been addressing like corporate groups? Are they accepting of this book?
They are. I mean, I've started to address different corporate groups, and I hope to do more of that. And Elaine, I don't want to cut you off, but I have to call into a live show here in about
Oh,
30
that's
seconds.
fine. Is there anything else you'd like me to ask before?
No, that's great.
Okay, well, I'll just end it. We'll just say, well, thank you, Daniel. I'm certainly a believer in what I read in your book.
Thanks so much, Elaine. I appreciate it.
All right, see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.